three receivers in a tight triangle near side to the left. From the two-yard line, shotgun for McCowan. Takes the snap, back, looking, now rolls left. Now settles himself, now looks, now he's going to roll right. He's got a man wide open in the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Benjamin!
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. That was Jim Donovan on the call with Travis Benjamin's huzz down from Josh McCown, and we will get to Jim Donovan around 2 o'clock today. He will join us to break down the preseason opener. We'll get to the phone lines, and then we're going to get through, try to do some grades as well. Pat in Chesterland, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Pat?
Good. I love your show.
Thank you.
You know, on Justin Gilbert, I hate it when people try to downplay the what it looks like he's going to be a bust. And, you know, people try to say, well, you know, they got Pierre Desir or he's not really going to be a factor because he's, you know, the fifth cornerback. You know, the thing, when I see Justin Gilbert, I see Khalil Mack. I see Sammy Watkins. You know, I see what we could have had.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't make mistakes like that. I mean that's why we never make up any ground in this division is because we don't hit home runs with our drafts. We hit doubles and singles.
The only thing I'll say about Sammy Watkins there is you do have to put into perspective that we also got Cam Irvin out of it.
Right, so and you go to Buffalo and try to get Sammy Watkins for Cam Irvin and Justin Gilbert, and they
okay,
hang the
but
phone
you also
up
go
on
to
him.
Buff. You go to Buffalo, and the same GM is saying that they're in QB purgatory because they made that trade. They didn't have any picks to take a quarterback.
Right.
So I'm not saying that it's not it doesn't look like a bad pick right now, but it does have to be balanced by the fact that they made so many other good picks, including Pierre Nazaire. And believe me, I agree with you. I'd much rather have Khalil Mack right now.
I think, well, part of the problem is it really just comes to you see Khalil Mack, you want an immediate impact. You see Danny Shelton on the field last night, and you're like, I understand why they drafted him 12th, and he is going to help this team be better. Justin Gilbert isn't showing in any way, shape, or form how he is going to help this team be better, and it's frustrating.
It is.
And maybe he's going to help it as a kick returner. He looked pretty good returning the kick.
He did. And that's where I believe the animosity when it comes to the Cleveland Browns in the draft year after year after year is developed, because it seems like we make a pick for a specific reason, and everyone around us, the four picks in front of us, the six picks after us, all end up panning out, and you get immediate result right now. Okay, six overall, boom. He's starting for your team. He's making an impact. We saw guys, have great rookie years, and we're having a developmental guy. We're drafting developmental guys in the first round, where other teams in the first round are drafting potential Pro Bowlers.
Yeah, and let's be honest about it. You go back a few years in the Browns drafts, right? Barkevious Mingo. Before that, you had what? Trent Richardson and Whedon.
Yep.
Were the first round. Then Barkevious Mingo was a first rounder. Then you had Gilbert and Johnny, and then you've got Danny Shelton and Cam Irving. So that's seven. Of those seven, right now, Danny Shelton's the only one who looks like an immediate impact player for your team, and
right.
Is the only one who is helping your. Trent's gone. Trent brought you Johnny Manziel. Whedon's gone. Mingo is oft injured and doesn't look like he's ever going to pan out into being a dominant player in this league at any, maybe he'll be an adequate starter. So it's been a history of failing there, and it's nice to see Shelton at least look like he's going to turn it around.
Cam Irvin may not do it right away because we don't need him to do it right away. He's going to be a starting offensive lineman in the National Football League for a long time.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll say about the Mingo pick, and not to sound like Joe Banner on Twitter, but that wasn't the greatest draft. That wasn't one where there were six guys after
But my point there is, I guarantee that they had an opportunity to move out of that spot and acquire more assets, and they should have done it. I guarantee it.
I don't know. I feel like Joe Banner was all about acquiring assets at that point.
No, in that draft, if you remember, he was about divesting to get, because he knew that draft was bad. That's why the Browns had so many picks the year after, which turned into a good draft where he hit guys like Desir and Kirksey, et cetera.
And had the assets to trade to move up to get West, move up to get Johnny, and so on and so forth.
Moving up. Yes. Yes, you are correct.
Moving on up.
All right, let's go to north of the border to Canada. Cam in Canada. What's up, Cam?
Canada.
Oh, man, you guys did a great job. I listened to – hey, kid, by the way. And I just wanted to say you guys did a great job yesterday. I listened to all the pregame, and it was
Thank
terrific.
You.
Matt, I mean, I'm not blowing you up here or whatever, but I don't know if there's any better ex-player analysis that I've ever heard. I'm being sincere. So
thank you very much.
Bring it, Wilhelm.
For
I try.
And, I just think the issue here, first of all, Gilly's going to be fine. I mean, I got a decent track record, you know, of calling it, and I'm telling you, he's going to be fine. He's going to be great, actually. That's my view on it. He's got to get there, but I think he's going to get there. And as far as I just see the edge with this team, I didn't get a chance to see it live. I got a chance to see it on archive. I had a guy that got it for me. So I just see too much academic on the edge. Guys, you know, we talked, Matt, you talked earlier about giving guys the option to step up. If you're stepping up and you get lost in the wash, you're in trouble. I just see a bunch of confused guys out there, way too much read and react. I think we got to get back to blunt force on the edge, get away from the academic component, and let these guys, you know, do it physically. I just think they're thinking way too much out there.
I agree with that to a certain extent, and you can do that. What worries me, though, is the elementary game plan we went into this first preseason game with, and they were overthinking that. That concerns me. Now, if Jim O'Neill was 90% into his bag of tricks and this playbook, and guys are overthinking, you know, okay, I get it. Then you start to simplify and weed things out so that guys can play fast and not think. But for them to be overanalyzing as he mentioned, you know, really just thinking out there too much, it's working against us.
To be fair, on the edge, Kruger was here for the full season last year. Solomon was here at the very end of last season.
And the entire offseason.
Orchard just got here.
Right.
Riley just got here. So it's, in some ways, they are new, but I just think that's an issue on this team right now.
But correct me if I'm wrong. In a 3-4 scheme, I don't care if you're in this scheme or somewhere else, isn't the one job of the outside linebacker to push it inside?
Yes. And that's why I don't question this scheme. I just can't say because I don't understand the responsibility. And you mentioned, Nathan, you know, talking to Coach Fleury or talking to Jim O'Neill and understanding their responsibility so that therefore we can come on here and understand why. Because conceptually, to give a guy a two-way go, which means he has the ability to make a decision on the run, that means a player behind him must react off of his decision. And we did not see that last night, at least appropriately from a gap fundamental standpoint.
All right, when we come back, Dan Wetzel was there from Yahoo. We'll get his take on this Browns team and what he saw early on from the starters and who stood out to him, maybe some unheralded guys that he thinks have earned the right to be on the 53-man roster of the Cleveland Browns. That's coming up next. Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports here on ESPN 850 WKNR.